Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. I'm going to rant, I'm going to rave about WNST.net, Baltimore Positive all coming together into one little place. Get rid of the check mark, or the check mark's over here. Get some new swag around here with our friends at Strategic Factory. We got a lot of friends around town. Some of them reside in Essex, and I want to give a shout out to my boy Chad down at Al's, who had a situation down there. A little love down there to Stemmer's Run. We'll get Chad on to talk about his situation. Also, our friends at Pizza John's. There's actually sweat on my Pizza John's cup because there's actually libation inside and hydration inside. I'm going to get down there and get a meatball sub inside that delicious bun. I did have a cheesesteak down there a couple weeks ago, and I found that, I don't even know if Todd Schuller knows this, the last time, right, like the day before the pandemic, I invited Todd Schuller and I invited Mark Miller down to Pizza John's to have a delicious pizza lunch, and we're like, nah, let's just meet in the office. Well, here we are 8 months later into a pandemic that the President of the United States is declaring an election to be fraudulent, that I would long for the days just sitting in Pizza John's without a mask with you and Mark Miller and talking about, I don't know, spring training or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we really should have taken you up on that. I didn't know it would be this long before we got in there again. I thought maybe it might blow over in a couple of weeks, and here we are coming up on 10 months, 8 months?
I don't know. They're all running together at this point, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, you know, you've had a situation the last couple of weeks. I would say, man, the election, the Ravens, whatever. I mean, you've had a hell of a journey. I mean, I woke up and saw the way we see friends of ours who lose friends, relatives, loved ones, God forbid, their father in this case for you. Your father, a legend, not at my son's hall, Perry Hall. The other hall for you. I know it's been a tough couple of weeks in and out of everything. How you doing, man? You just giving you a virtual hug from without a mask from this far away.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a crazy time. You know, my dad, he passed away within the last 7 or 10 days. And
give me a little more volume if you can on your side, Todd. I don't mean to break it up. I just want to make sure if you have an up key on your volume, turn yourself up a little bit if you can. That's all. You sound okay. Keep going though.
Good.
Yeah. I just want to get your full volume. Go ahead. No, your volume's gone now.
Muted me.
Okay. There you go. Now right. I got you. You're perfect now.
Yeah, but it's been crazy. It's a weird time to have a funeral. But my father, in several aspects of his life, was a sort of legend. I mean, he was certainly in the Calvert Hall circles, and he was a huge union man. He was a business manager for the Plumbers and Steamfitters Union for the bulk of the, you know, last 20 years of his career.
The kind of guy that represented people like my dad, right? Literally, right?
Very much so. I mean, he was a union man through and through, and then kind of took that, you know, as the union representative, he made his way to Annapolis, you know, to lobby on behalf of, you know, various issues related to workers. And
man, you really grew up in this, huh? I mean, literally, right?
I probably ran for the House of Delegates because of him. He was in those circles enough that, like, when I was right out of law school running having a fundraiser, my very first fundraiser at Putty Hill Station, you know, and guys like Anthony Brown and, of course, Tommy Bromwell and Dan Morheim from the west side of the county. I mean, respected elected officials were showing up to my nobody
what year was that? Just so I know, because I got a funny story for you.
2002.
Wow. Okay.
I could get a flyer with Martin O'Malley, who was, I think, running for governor. No, he was still mayor. He was prime.
He was the mayor because we just won the Super Bowl. That's correct.
But I could get a photo out with Martin because of my dad.
By the way, Martin came on for an hour last week and was unbelievable before the election, just talking about all of it, literally.
He called me in the wake of my dad, as so many people did, and I couldn't be more grateful for everybody that reached out. But, you know, yeah, he's a pretty big shot to be just calling me. And then, of course, when somebody like that's been a governor and been a mayor and run for president, they call you. You, out of courtesy, you try and get them off the phone fast, you know, because, I know they have to call a lot of people that way. But, you know, you can't get him off the phone. He's a consummate politician. You know, he's got story after story about my dad and his dad. And, you know, he's a he's a true, genuine, good guy, you know, like he wasn't, it wasn't a courtesy call that dumped real quick. It was, well, hold on, let me tell you this one more thing, one more piece of advice from when I lost my father. You know, he's a consummate politician, Martin O'Malley.
Well, you know, I can let you go on and on about your dad forever, but let's talk about emotional intelligence, because maybe that's, you know, where we, maybe that's something we need to talk about here in the aftermath of the election and what you've been through. Just having that, just having emotional intelligence in 2020, you know, I, based on the way we voted last week as Americans, that this thing was close, just the notion that people would be kind in any circumstance, right? I mean, that was sort of an American way to be, or the way we were raised to be, right?
I think so. I mean, good people, again, going, tying my father in, but being good people was the most important part, you know, that I think he tried to convey to me. And we got to figure it out. I mean, if we're going to stitch the country back together, and I think we will, because we have to, because the alternative is just, it's unthinkable. And if we're going to, it's going to take simple kindnesses out of literally every single one of us. Every American is going to have to do everything we can to bring the country together. And I don't know what it takes. I've tried to do as I try to do with everything. You take that self inventory, like, what can I do better? I saw a poll that some 20% of Florida Trump voters lied to their friends about who they were voting for. And I think of myself, and we talk all the time, and we plaster what an idiot Trump is, and, you know, joke about it, but I'm a bully. I know I'm a bully unconsciously, but I know there have to be friends that lie to me that just go along, well, yeah, of course, Biden, you know, like, whatever.
You know, we did a long segment last week. You know, a pollster, Gonzalez came on, and we sat here, Patrick came on, and he spoke to that, you know, and he was completely right, you know, and Mueller's Mr. Pollster, I'm the doubter, so I'm on his side, right, that this couldn't be polled right, because you cannot poll 150 million people, no matter who you are, no matter how much you micro-target or whatever, to what people's intentions would be in any private circumstance, whether it's asking about sex, religion, drugs. You want to know whether people are on drugs? Find out their blood, because they're not going to be honest with you, right? You want to know, or you know, whether they have one drink a night or two. Everyone's going to err on the side of what makes them look good on Facebook or on Instagram. And we all now have like this image we could put up about who we are and what we're about. And, you know, I've had to deal with some of that, right, as the reform sports guy. You've had to deal with that as a politician and a lawyer all boxed into one place, right, that we're all trying to say we're honorable, we have integrity, this is what we stand for, this is who we are. I don't know that the Trump movement is something that everybody, and, you know, I drove through Harford County the other day and saw how many lawns have, you know, just how many people are proud of their association with Donald Trump. And this is something in the aftermath of this that not everybody with a lawn sign voted either way.
Well, yeah, I mean, the vast majority of people are not wearing t-shirts and lawn signs one way or the other. And
certainly not for Joe Biden, right? Like, because if you just drive it around, not every person that voted for Joe Biden in this state, 70% of the people were running around with Joe hats on, you know?
Let's be honest. The other side is a little more into the merchandise, but, you know, what are you going to do? But, you know, well, never mind. See, I'm going to say horribly disparaging
things.
See, 10
lawn signs is still one vote, usually, right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah. Like, the best joke is time to lower the truck flags to half mast. But in defense of the pollsters, because I'm a nerd, a political nerd, you know, like, and I pour over 538 and Nate Cohn and all the pollsters. I spend 8 hours a day for the last year on polling websites. I've never gotten four teams into the final four in my bracket. You know, I've never called, you know, just the right calls, or never won an NCAA bracket. But I got 49 out of 50 states. In defense of the pollsters, the political nerds that follow that crap, if North Carolina, which will be the last one truly decided, although I think it looks like it's going to go for Trump, if North Carolina would have been blue, old Todd would have been 50 for 50, perfect NCAA bracket. That's pretty proud of that. And I think it speaks to the pollsters as well. Like, they weren't that wrong. I mean, Joe Biden's going to win by 5 points nationally, where maybe they thought it was going to be 8. He's going to win the exact states that they, you know, rebuild the blue wall and pluck a couple of southern states out of there. So they weren't awful, you know, like they've been blasted as, oh, they didn't know anything. The two times in a row, they've not accounted for whatever the shy Trump vote is. I think this time.
That's interesting. Shy Trump vote. I've never heard it referred to as such. Like, literally through all my reading, shy, right?
Well, I think what we're going to find is that a lot of it came from the Hispanic communities, the shy Trump vote this time around. I think they might have nailed.
Well, I think that was proven, right? I mean, you could prove that along Texas and Florida. My family's Venezuelan. I have some decidedly, strangely hard right relatives in my Aparicio chain.
Yeah.
That's
a big deal.
You know, they live down in Venezuela. I didn't, say whatever you want about it. Look, I have some hard right thoughts about finances and the government and where money is. You know, I'm more conservative than I'm believed to be in, you know, fiscal circumstances, you know, and giving money away and wasting money and the military and fat and a lot of different things that I could feel more strongly about. But then you only get to vote one or the other, right? We don't really have a purple or a green as much as I have my El Guapo shirt on. There's really only two teams you get to play on. Fundamentally, that creates a little bit of this aftermath of what we have here this week, right?
And I wonder that from the two times perspective too. Sure, you have the truck flag crowd, you know, and the packing the airport hangars and walk into a restaurant without a mask crowd, but there's a lot of Trump voters who are, they're afraid of the Democrats. You know, they're afraid of whatever that could be. And
no,
I'd say
they hate Democrats. I mean, I'm a public figure, dude. The literal bile that's come in my direction that, you know, I did not return other than putting one tweet up where, you know, I had a shirt on and I voted and I made my statement. I didn't hang a long sign. I have not dedicated long stretches of my programming here to hating on Trump. I've dedicated long stretches to calling out lies and bigotry. And I've also, I hope that 80 to 90% of what we talk about here are solutions, right? And, you know, one of the solutions would just start with fact and truth, right? And I think that in the aftermath of what has been done here, and we're a week past the election now, getting into a week and a half, that I'm just as appalled in the aftermath as I was during it about fraud voting. And Todd Shuler, I want you to take the baton here because, like, you are the embodiment of someone that has counted votes. So give everyone that might just be getting in the car, jumping in, or maybe they know you and don't know how. They don't know this story at the cocktail party about you counting votes and calling an election fraudulent at any level, let alone at a local level. So go ahead, take the baton.
It is truly insulting to a significant amount of people who volunteer, and there are professionals, but the professionals and the volunteers that work on our voting system, they're dedicated human beings and they do a really fantastic job. When I was counting my own ballots, twice in my life, I won by 85 votes when I ran for House of Delegates in 2006. My friend Johnny O ran for county executive 2 years ago and won by literally 9 votes. And both of those times I had the opportunity to be in the Baltimore County Board of Elections, to watch the challenges to ballots, to watch the counting of ballots. And they're not the kind of people that like politicians hanging around. They don't want me there. They don't want vote challengers there. They have a job to do. They're going to do it 100% above board, and they don't need me standing over their shoulder to tell them to do that. Nevertheless, the process is completely transparent, and I'm there. And, you know, in the case of Johnny, you know, Vicky Allman's people there and Jim Brosian's people are there and we're watching. But the reality is, as exciting as that is, and I'm a lawyer, maybe I should go help Johnny because I'm a lawyer and lawyers might be better in that situation. The reality is,
was this Hanging Chad era? I mean, we never had Hanging Chads here, right?
We were undoing
it. This is you fill it out in blue instead of black and the ink gets smudged or like all of this was explained. Like, dude, I had the television on for 5 effing days last week, up at night, up at 3 in the morning, at 4:20 in the morning when Georgia, when Biden took the lead, I was making coffee in the kitchen. You know, like, I was in here cutting commercials. My wife came in, opened the door on Saturday and said they just called Biden. So, like, I have experience. They went to every one of these centers. They showed how mail could be damaged. They showed all of this, right? Like, and there's a Republican and a Democrat standing over everyone's shoulders. There's video cameras in Georgia everywhere to make sure no one could possibly yell fraud in the aftermath of this, right? Literally.
It's like being in a library and 5 lawyers follow every clerk around and tell them where to put the books back. It's that boring. It's that easy a process. And they don't need, you know, yes, that it is observed when I mean, we didn't have TV cameras and stuff like that, but we had the Baltimore Sun there. We had the Annapolis Post-Gazette there. And we had representatives of every campaign there watching it. And we had the professional people that run the voting systems there. And we had the professional people that work for the Baltimore County Board of Elections there.
Dude, in Arizona, they have a Republican government that's been pretty not on the up and up for the most part, right? Like, I mean, you know, through the test of time, and if you go in and look at how whack job Arizona has been over 30 or 40 years, the fact that they've come out with a Democratic, like, I don't, it's inconceivable, but much of what we've seen the last 4 years as a bastion to truth and facts has been inconceivable. So to think that a segment of the population would buy this, but to think that down ballot Kim Classic would say that the 100,000 votes that she lost by would be fraudulent, that this has opened the door to that, that makes this thing pretty scary, brother.
It is. It's not scary like Trump's going to pull this off. That part, forget about. There's no, he doesn't have a lawsuit that could overturn the election. You know, like, all that is people showing him that they're doing, hey, boss, I'm out here. We filed, you know, we're trying to disqualify 100 ballots in Arizona. It's all junk. That part's junk. But you're right. For Kim Classic.
Now, you speak that as a lawyer, right? I mean, that's the legal side from you.
I'm sorry. Junk. Yes. My legal opinion is junk. Like, that is not happening. This is not flipping. There's none of that that's going to go down. But and yes, that is my absolute legal opinion. But the sad part is, and the scary part is, it's just gone on too much. The pillars of democracy, the knowledge that these people are independent and that they're hardworking and that they're dedicated and that they're doing everything they can to count every ballot that was properly submitted, that has resonation in the future. Eric, the whole world is watching us, and this guy hasn't conceded yet. Like, what? You know, imagine waking up in Italy. Like, I guess Biden won, huh? Like, oh yeah, I don't know, but Trump's still saying maybe not. You know, like, people are going to do this for generations. They're going to act like idiots, and it's unfair. I mean, to the people. When I tell you the people are dedicated at the Board of Elections, and I only know the Baltimore County Board of Elections, but
and you were on the wrong side. You lost.
I have lost and won. In my super tight race, I did win by 85 votes. But that was the same year that Chad Johnson changed his name to Ocho Cinco. So I showed up in Annapolis with a new nickname. But yeah, these are dedicated people, man. I don't know how to say it any further. And to imply, for what? For your personal gain, you're going to imperil the future of democracy.
Well, that's who he is, though. Like, that's not, you know, that there, when we've asked whether there was any depth to this, you know, I've called it moral bankruptcy from the very beginning. And I've met people like this in my, you know, I'm from Dundalk. I've met people, you know, I've met unscrupulous, nefarious, ill-intentioned, moral compass lacking souls. I mean, I just have. And I just didn't think that someone like this, that 70 million people, I think that was part of the liberal thought on this thing over months, was that, like,
it was just going to be a beatdown.
Yeah. And I guess the other part of this is, for every Lindsey Graham and every Mitch McConnell that won their elections and won them,
they've got 6 years. Trump will be dead before they have to run again. Have some courage to stand up for the American system tomorrow. You know, we're celebrating Veterans Day this week. Have some courage. We're not asking you to storm a beachhead here. You just got to say, hey, congratulations, President-elect Biden. We look forward to working with you.
I'm trying to think of what worse charge you could possibly make than that. I don't know what else what you could accuse the system of that would be any worse than the election is rigged, and try to sell that.
It breaks my heart that would be an accusation lobbed. Again, this is not an allegation against criminal masterminds like me and you and these. This is people making $30,000 a year to count ballots because they love it, you know, like, and they've done it for, this is little old ladies, you know, you're not taking your shots at this. Where's the allegation that Chuck Schumer somehow magically, like, came in and rigged a couple of states, forgot to rig the Senate so that he could be president of the Senate, you know, forgot to get the Democrats some more House seats, but only did this to Trump? It's not. There's no such allegation. The allegation is that little old ladies and, you know, I shouldn't say just little old ladies, people of all ages and races and whatnot.
Volunteers, basically.
Yeah, that's who you're accusing. That's who you're accusing of rigging an election. And it's disgusting. It is disappointing. And
I called it seditious. You know, I mean, I think it cuts at the heart of everything. You can't kiss the flag and do this. You can't.
No, you can't.
And I'm not going to let you.
The I guess maybe that, from the Democrats' perspective, is the most disappointing is that we didn't hang up a Lindsey Graham and a Mitch McConnell after watching them kowtow to this guy's worst instincts for 4 years. They slip by and win elections, and not just them, you know. But there have been Republican senators that have come out and congratulated publicly Joe Biden. You know, there's courage there. It's been lacking as such. I wanted George.
There've been three
W.
senators,
Bush.
as we sit here, there've been three senators that have, out of 48 elected, three out of 48 that have congratulated Joe Biden. That's where we are in the United States of America.
I got Collins, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, right? Romney and Murkowski. I think I got four, right?
That's four. Okay. There must have been one other
one. Ticking away. I'll tell you who, my old political nemesis, George W. Bush, and I thought for sure he'd hop in the fray and endorse Joe Biden and sort of flip Texas, but he kept his powder dry, I think, as a non-political, and now I think has a little bit of the moral authority to say, hey, guys, move on. And look, you want to count all the ballots? I get that. I don't want to take that away. You know, there are legitimately enough ballots in enough places potentially, you know, that if everything 100%.
Well, look at the situation in Georgia and what's going to become of this Senate race, right?
I wouldn't want to live in Georgia right now. I don't know how you would put, how do you watch TV? I mean, there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars in political ads for the next 2 months. It's going to be a very,
this is where
it
drives me crazy as an FCC owner, right? Because you say something like that, and I think this all the time, because I compete with WBAL. I compete with, at one point, WJZ when they owned the FM competitor that came in, and, you know, so I am sensitive to this, that all of this money that gets raised literally goes to a couple of television stations. And maybe get smattered through the community when they, you know, they buy t-shirts and give it to my friends over at Strategic Factory because they're making a, you know, Togetherness for Mayor a t-shirt or whatever, that if I would have run and raised a couple of hundred grand, that it would have gotten spent somewhere in the marketplace locally in some way. But boy, the amount of money, and you know, John Sarbanes came on and did a dissertation last week on Baltimore Positive. I encourage everyone in your world, Todd Schuller, to go out and watch that, because talking about where campaign money is and where it's going, we're really going to see this come to light the next 6 weeks when all the chips are on the table for a Super Bowl for control of the Senate. And during this time when Trump's trying to set the country on fire, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'd like to guess that if I was a prognosticator, that given the Democratic victory for president, that the Republicans will prevail in the Senate races. If I had to guess, just by virtue of, the country doesn't like to put too much power in one particular place. And that might not be a bad thing either. I mean, you know, we don't have to worry about, are we going to pack the courts or not pack the courts? Like, that's off the table. There's something about this sort of half a loaf victory that insists that people reach across the aisle and get stuff done. I would hope, and I'm not too cynical to believe it's impossible, that Mitch McConnell, you know, is not going to do with the Senate what he did during the Obama years and just say no. The answer is no. Whatever you want, no. You know, it's too important. We have we got to get this virus. We're so damn close. We got the vaccine news, you know, or just, we got to push the ball over the finish line, you know, and we got a winter coming up where people like us and your other fine sponsors might, you know, lose a couple of weeks or whatever, you know, things might tighten up too much again as we go into the winter. So, you know, we're going to need that kind of help. We're still going to need the airline industry and the cruise industry and the people out in Vegas and the people up in Atlantic City, that they need help. And the people at,
I'm in downtown Baltimore. Look at all these empty hotels, look at the empty stadia and, you know, the empty and, you know, the Christmas garden across the street, and just everything is waiting, right? And Todd Schuller's here. I want to give you a chance to promote what you guys do, damngoodlawyer.com. I'm going to share my screen. Everybody can go out to damngoodlawyer.com and find them. But right down – oh, there you go. Good-looking guy there. Hey, you shaved since then, man. Look at that.
You know, you slipped up, and you made a my dad joke. My dad used to always say, my son's a lawyer.
Hey,
We're personal injury lawyers. We've been here for, in one form or another, our firm has been right here on Eastern Avenue for about 40 years. We handle auto accidents. We handle workers' compensation. We handle any situation where somebody has been injured and needs recovery against an insurance company. And what sets us apart from the competition, and I've told you this on your air before, but we're not afraid to go to court. We are not here to make a fast buck by taking the first settlement offer we can get. We know that we can do better in front of judges and in juries than insurance companies are often willing to come off. As always, and it's an industry standard, people brag about it on the back of the phone book, but it's just the industry standard. We don't get paid unless you get paid. You know, we get paid out of recovery. We take losses. We go to court with tens of thousands of dollars in expenses and take losses and we move along, and you never get charged a dime. I mean, that's just the nature of our business. We also go to court and get nice big verdicts. So, you know, the good pays for the bad, I suspect, but, we are, you know, we're a small family here. There's 9 of us. A lot of these folks that have been working here have been working since long before I was in law school. And they've been doing the same thing. They dot the I's, they cross the T's. It's a fabulous place to work and a really fabulous group of people. And I suspect that your experience, if you do get injured, will be a good one.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's the first time I've ever been on your About Us page where I'm like reading Mark Miller's bio. So as much as I have you on every week, and I always say this, like after you lost your pop last week, I thought Miller was going to like just roll in and like fill in. And I thought, well, maybe this will be the week. At some point, I'm going to have him on. But like, I'm reading his bio on here, and I could have written it. I know most of this about Mark because I've known Mark since like 1979. We met in middle school. I found our high school and middle school yearbooks. I have all sorts of incriminating young photos of a young Mark Miller and a young Nestor being pals together in Dundalk. So all these years of legal experience, it is, it's my pleasure to sort of yell about you guys and have you guys on. It's a little weird that, you know, that you're the one that comes on every week, but that's okay. I mean, I like you. It's all good. But I do want to, you know, tell Mark's story a little bit too as your partner, right?
Yeah, he's never been away from here since law school. He got out of here, and in law school, he worked as a, you know, a law clerk here for Bill Blondell and his son, who would, you know, run the,
you know, before the internet, I'd run into him, and we'd run into each other like an East Side or at a bar or at an event or at a dinner or here or there or Dundalk event or whatever. And I'd be like, hey man, what's, you still, yeah, still around, yeah, it's still same place, you know, like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I, no matter where in life I've run into him, I've known he's on Eastern Avenue on the way down to Pizza John's, and I can honk the horn, stop by, and say hello, right?
Absolutely, and it's done him well. I mean, he has, you know, he's the brains of our operation in terms of, you know, running the business on a day-to-day basis. You know, I'm just trying cases and stuff like that. But he's put it together really nice here. We are both extraordinarily proud of our East Side roots, and as such, we want to be a part of the community. I walk around the neighborhood behind us on Eastern Avenue, and it's a beautiful place. I mean, there's not a bad house on the block. Everybody takes care of their lawns. Everybody takes care of their yards. You know, Essex.
My parents' first house is on Taylor Avenue on the other side.
We're right here, you know.
Yep.
So we're proud of our community. We're working to make ourselves as useful to the community as possible, whatever that might be. If it's fielding a phone call about a traffic ticket or some zoning thing or some nonsense but something we don't do professionally, we want to take the phone call. We want to find people, you know, we want to get them on the right path.
Has there been anything about COVID that makes your phone ring in some sort of weird way where it didn't before, that COVID has affected that in some way?
It sure made it ring less a lot this past summer when nobody was working and nobody was driving around getting in car crashes, but it's picked back up. Look, we have COVID cases. I mean, people get COVID at work, first responders, teachers, folks like that who are, you know, are exposed on the front lines.
Wow, that's COVID, a good question then. I didn't know if that, you know, what answer I was going to get from that, right?
Now, you have a compensable claim in workers' compensation if you got COVID at work. And there are certainly situations I don't believe we have one under roof yet where you may have gotten it, you know, through someone's, you know, negligence, you know,
these going on like pork farms and stuff in South Dakota where like whole plants, you know, like serious things are going on. And I think the one thing, and I think we're learning this in sports, I saw there were three cases last weekend in the NFL where players had quote unquote recovered from COVID, but not recovered from COVID. And I know they talked about that with Cam Newton in the game the other night, that there's some fallout from COVID that none of us could possibly know at this point, right?
What's going on with Trevor Lawrence down at Clemson? Like, I think he's negative, but he didn't play in Notre Dame. Like, what, you know, is there still heart and lung? I mean,
look at you bringing it back to sports, Shuler. Look at you.
I'm just saying that. I hate to keep bringing it
back. As you have Johnny U over two of your shoulders.
Yeah, Johnny U.
And the Beatles.
My dad, he was recruited and went down to play for Clemson. So he was happy to watch Trevor Lawrence win the national championship last year. And
I had an uncle that went to Clemson. My uncle in Delaware who worked for DuPont forever was a Clemson man. So I saw that orange paw plenty. And, you know, I remember the Danny Forge, the first time they cheated, not this time when they're cheating, the other time when they cheated. Todd Shuler is here. They're Blondell Miller Shuler. You can find them at Damn Good Lawyer and Blondell Miller. They're down in Essex. Todd ran for office, won, lost, counted votes. Boy, you're a perfect guest this week, right? Like, do people, and I know you're sort of tongue-in-cheek and you have a good time on Facebook and you have a sense of humor, having been a pinata-ed public official as a winner and a loser, right? And all of that. Is there any credibility that you've won? I mean, I'll say this. I literally was out on maybe it was Sunday. It was Monday. It was Monday. So a week after the election, a good 48 hours into Trump yelling about the falsehoods that he yells about. And someone on my Facebook page, some rando dude on my Facebook page, don't know this person, put up, you know, I voted for Trump and I wanted Trump to win, but he lost and we need to get over this. This isn't good. It is the only, literally in my whole world, the only time I've seen it. I saw it one time. It was so random that I went onto the person's Facebook page and I do not know this person, anything about this person. I didn't even check to see whether they were east, west, north, south, even if they were in Maryland. I think they're in Maryland. But I just put a comment up. I said, you know what? I appreciate that because it's the only time I've seen it. Is there anybody in your world that at least this week, you know they voted for Trump, but they have at least have insinuated to you that maybe the election was on the up and up too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's good to hear because I don't have a lot of that in my world.
Being nice to me because my dad died, but I have had too many people, reach out. People want to heal. People want this to be over. And whatever this is, I don't know. You know, even if you didn't want Trump to be over, I got to figure that's a piece of the pie. But people want to move on. And I think, yes, very much so. People have reached out to me either on Facebook or in person. I can think my daughter's soccer coach is a good dude. But, he said this, and maybe it rolls off a little easier. Hey, sorry about your dad also, congratulations. But I think the vast majority, you're going to get your loud crowd out there, but people get it. People see that it's a loss. And I think mostly he's, imperiling the democracy for the future, but he's looking for an off ramp. He's got to be able to rant and rave and say he got cheated and then he can start his news network.
This isn't professional wrestling. This is the future of democracy in our country. You know what I mean? It's been turned into professional wrestling. I'm appalled by it, and I have no problem saying that to anyone that wants to listen. I am appalled by it.
It's incumbent upon us. If people say they voted for Trump and they're ready to move on, and we have to be ready to move on too. We have to be ready to say to them, look, you're afraid of socialism. You're afraid of defunding the police and the Green New Deal and all, there's boogeymen out there. What can I do to alleviate your fear? What are you concerned about? What makes you tick? Cause it's gotta go both ways. It's gotta be an outreach from everybody. Everybody's got to hug everybody and do so without hugging them. It's going to be difficult.
Todd, I put a whole platform together called Baltimore Positive, but you know what I mean? But where I live, 89% of the people in my space voted against this. 89%, right? Like 70% of our state voted against this, right? And most of that was, in Harris land, right? And not Kamala, by the way. The other doctor that doesn't believe in science. So they're just all of these things that aren't based in truth in the QAnon and all of it that I need to push back against as a journalist, as a person, not as a Latin American, not as the son of an Archie Bunker in Dundalk, as someone that has sought truth. And, I think I've said this to a lot of people. In the aftermath of all of this, we should all be looking for more things that are true.
True indeed, but also kind, right? Like,
we
live in our bubbles. I live up toward the Andy Harris world of things, but we live in our bubbles. But this week is Veterans Day. This has got to be America positive. We got to be USA.
There's nothing that insults me more than lying to me, though, right? Or insulting intelligence enough to sell me a bag of rocks and tell me it's gold. You know what I mean? Like that's offensive to me. And most people don't get an opportunity to sell it to me twice. Literally, you know what I mean? Like that's how you survive in life is to not be sold that twice, right? Like literally.
Understood. But the vast majority of the 70 million people that voted the other way aren't the deplorables that you see with the truck flags. And I don't mean to single out truck flags. I'm sure some very nice people have truck flags too.
I had a purple one.
The vast majority are as shattered and as frenetic and as terrified as we are. And we just got to find a way. I hope that maybe we put the guy there that it at least can say the right words to bring it all together. But we got to hug a Trumpster this week.
Wash your hands, wear a mask, hug a Trumpster this week, all right? I mean, I have a few in my life as well. I try to do what everybody else does, just, you know, detour the conversation on to, how about those Ravens going to New England this week, huh? Right, how about that, you know? Been over to El Guapo lately, you know? That's, you know, so, you know, I'm trying to move things around. Dude, I appreciate you. Big virtual hug to you, your family, everyone that loved your dad, which is pretty much everybody in my audience from what I saw on Facebook last week. So I know you got a rough couple weeks ahead with the holidays and whatnot. So I'll try to cheer you up next week. We're going to beat the Patriots this week. How do you feel about that?
It seems easy. I mean, Flacco tried to do it this week already, you know.
I wore green for him today. How about
that? That's right. And he damn near had it with Perryman.
You know, I fell asleep on it, and I woke up and saw that they lost. My wife, you know, my wife and I are sleeping odd hours. The elections do that around here. You know, I saw her over coffee in the morning. You know, we're making a little Rofo in the kitchen in the Cole roofing mug, of course, that I always cart in here at 7 in the morning. And I'm like, you know, I saw he threw a couple touchdowns. How did he do? She's like, oh, he looked pretty good. You know, he can still throw it. And I saw him early in the game because I fell asleep early.
Right.
You know? But I saw, you know, he hit Perryman in the hands and the ball got knocked out. And I'm like, poor Joe. If they just all caught what Joe threw, Joe would be a 2-time Super Bowl champion, right?
No doubt in my mind.
Appreciate you. Todd Scholler, damn good lawyer. He, along with my lifer pal, Mark Miller, they have a little law firm down in Essex, and they're there to help you out. You can find more about them at damngoodlawyer.com. You can also see Todd's good-looking face. He looks a little bit like the Gordon's fisherman out on the front of you're okay with that, right?
I'll take it.
Just not like the New York Islanders logo, although I am chasing down Barry Trotz to have him on. They're about to play hockey and basketball again. You're aware of this, right? Like, it just ended, right? Like, it's...
Even before COVID, I thought they should start at Christmas. I don't understand this.
I've been Nobody debating baseball with all Christmas? These Boston sports writers this week too. So I'm all turned around. I know there's a football game on Sunday in New England, and I know my wife and I are shopping for a turkey. So next week I'm going to talk to you about proper turkey dinner in East Baltimore. All right, we're going to get this right.
Sounds like a winner.
Think about it. Sauerkraut or no sauerkraut and pumpkin versus all of the other pies, all right?
Done.
Important. DamnGoodLawyer.com. Go find Todd Schuller. Find my pal Mark Miller. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We're delivering new stuff in a new way. Get out to Baltimore Positive. You'll check it out. If you go to WNST.net, we won't let you go there anymore. We're going to serve you at the BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us. We got more ahead, including some really nice new commercials and liners that I'm really proud of. Thanks, Zach.